Good. I hope you're hearing me well.
Yeah, I'm hearing you pretty well, actually. Great.
Awesome.
Great. What day is it today?
Thursday.
This Thursday. Okay. Just making a note. So, I joined you. Or first of all, let me just get the introductions out of the way. Hello, audience. Welcome back to my podcast channel. Y'all know me. I'm Robin, and this is my podcast, Journey with Roman. And today, I have a guest with me who's going to be reviewing this really amazing album. And this is Danielle. How are you again?
Well, I'm doing pretty wonderful. How are you?
I have my party lights on, you know, my... You know how I do it. I got my party lights on, I have my weed, and I'm basically ready.
Well, that's the vibe for this album, right? That's the vibe for this album, for the most part.
No, I know, to be honest. It's not that type of vibe, because in order for me to have that vibe, it has to be like a different type of disco, like different type of party lights. This is more, I would say, like, chill. So I would, so this is for when I'm listening to, like, R&B or those type of songs that really make me just vibe. But this is more rock, so, yeah, it's completely different. And for those who are wondering what I'm talking about, I'm definitely getting there. So... the wonderful Miley Cyrus, who is legit, like, we're kind of like family at this point, Danielle. And I feel like the reason why is because we kind of grew up together. You know, I remember watching Miley Cyrus from back then with Hannah Montana. I don't know if you grew up watching her.
I wasn't as avid a follower of that of Hannah Montana at the time. And to be honest, this is actually the first time I really got into her work, because I haven't really explored it. I remember, you know, like Climb, and I even Put Your Hands Up, Party in the USA. So songs like those I can remember very clearly, because those were when I was in high school. But I didn't really get into her album until recently.
Is it me, or I feel like Climb was literally everywhere? Would not eat. It's the song that I
was a national anthem in school. Climb was like a national anthem in high school.
Yes. You hear it at every graduation. Every graduation.
Alone. You know those performances that they have like during devotion sessions?
Yeah, when they make somebody from the choir come up, come sing.
Yeah, everybody want to do a tribute.
Very that. So today we're going to be discussing her seventh studio album. It's called Plastic Hearts, and it was released... when was it released? It was released on...
Was it about 2 weeks ago?
It was about 2 weeks ago. I'm completely looking at something different. That's why I kind of flubbed on that. Yeah, so it was released literally 2 weeks ago on November 22nd. So that would have been last week. Or week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get into it, let's start off with you telling me which songs I like and which songs... if there are any, I think she couldn't just drop off.
Well, for me, my personal favorites are the ones that I can relate to the most. In a way, Give Me What I Want. Mm-hmm. I like High. and I really love Never Gonna Be Me, or Never It Will Never Be Me, and Nightcrawling. I like the haunting vibe that it has. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I think that the collapse could have, they could have been done away with in a way. The one collab that really stood out the most, I believe, was the one that sounded a bit more country. I don't remember the name of it. Karma, I think, was the name.
Bad Karma. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That one, so that one with the most within the album. The one to me, with Dua Lipa. Mm-hmm. That one sounded more like it could have fitted better in Dua Lipa's album. Because yeah. For some reason, to me, she dominated on that track.
For real, for real. And I like how you picked out those particular songs. I'm definitely going to be getting there in a moment. But you mentioned, you know, some of the songs that were on the album. So I want to start off by going over some of the songs. Like, all right, so this was very much an 80s inspired album, right? This was literally...
Most definitely. Yeah. I could even hear some 70s in a way too.
Kind of... disco
vibes. There's a disco vibe, definitely. Mm-hmm. You can hear elements in some tracks, a lot of rock elements, because mm-hmm. I know that Miley, she's an avid fan of rock, and maybe this is something that she always wants to do.
Definitely. Definitely. It's like, I feel like she was very comfortable with this with this album, and you could tell. Like the way that she screamed on some of the songs, her gnarl, her growl, like
and it's her
voice, you know, you can manipulate her voice like that. And I feel like knowing that she has that type of range, this was like the perfect song for her.
That dynamic range was something else.
I'm saying
her dynamic range on this album was something.
I know that she had a surgery on her throat last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't follow her.
I don't remember the illness that she...
Well, it's not what Mariah Carey had.
No, it's not what Mariah Carey had. It had something to do with excessive use of that. Or it could be the same thing, you know. But she had to do her throat surgery because she did use up her voice, child. So our vocal cords be kind of damaged. So yeah, she used up too much, chat too much, sing too much, she do all of that. She abused our voice. And I'm like, what kind of person would you have to be not 30 and have to do this type of surgery? Because normally like older people getting my type of disease here.
That's true. Or persons who are in this industry and they don't take care of their instrument.
That is true. Because Miley has always been that type of girl. I've never seen her as a pop girl. I've never seen her to be that type of girl. So watching her career over the years, because I followed her, because I'm a Disney baby. So like as I said, I grew up with Miley, so I've followed her career very keenly, and we just always see the type of music what she do as something that is experimental and revolutionary to her, because all of what she has done, I felt like is kind of like her being able to stand out from the pack and to kind of like create her own lane and her own space, because for years, and she said this before as well,
right?
Hmm?
Trying to make your way where, because you can't fit in everywhere, honestly.
You can't fit in nowhere, especially yeah. When you have a taste in a music where different from everybody else.
Right, make your own taste. You know, I've noticed for this year in particular, like the best albums for this year, especially the ones that are themed about self-awareness
mm-hmm.
and brokenheartedness and so forth. Mm-hmm. They share a common factor, which is the 80s vibe,
mm-hmm.
Or synth music, 80s mm-hmm. synth that pop in their songs, mm-hmm. and the very unbroken lyrics.
That was a very good year for. Yeah. I think that was a very good era for really good ballads. And I feel like that's the time when people start to become more like woke in terms of their feelings and really being able to express them feelings on ballad tracks. And those type of instruments, I feel like, evoke that feeling more. That helps you feel it more and help you relate to it. Because like the synth pop, percussion, the guitars, the bass guitars, all of that, like when you put all of them together, you know, it's like this scream, like you just want to scream up, like, and well, I'm getting ahead of myself because I personally, I'm a rock and roll type of person. Like I love rock music, like pop rock, glam rock, punk rock. Like that's me, that's my gig. Like I get up in all of that. So as we were saying that this was very comfortable for Miley, it was very comfortable for me as well, because I personally I know of Billy Idol's music. So the song Night Crawling, it was very similar to what Billy would have done back in the day in on his album Rebel Yell, I believe. It was very similar, so that collab made sense for what she was trying to do and the sound that she wanted to have. It definitely made sense. And the collab that she did with Dua Lipa, yeah, I agree with you. It just, I don't know, it just never really fit, but it fit.
No, lyrically, it fit into the album.
Aesthetically, I feel like she just probably do it because Dua Lipa dropped Fear album like a couple months, like early up in the year, and then the 80s kind of nostalgic thing is kind of going on right now. So it would not make sense as a marketing tool to have Dua Lipa on her album with the same sound.
Right. Into Dua Lipa's album.
Yeah, because remember I said Dua Lipa have one song named Physical, and it sounds the same.
The lyrical content of the song fits within Miley's album. It still comes up.
Okay. Alright, so let's get into the lyrical content now. Let's start off with the ones that you liked. You mentioned that you liked High was one of them for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what stood out the most for you with this, with that one? Daniel.
Okay, yeah. So in High, what I loved about it, it was her addressing a lover, ex-lover rather, that she can't seem to get off her mind, even though she knows that she made the right decision moving on and leaving that relationship behind, but for some reasons, like it haunts her. The person just keeps coming in her dreams. Like, she addressed both that person, ex or exes or former lovers, and she also addressed herself. Right. But she said, "And you, and you like a rolling stone, always building cities on the hearts that you broke." That reference as well was playing back on a song. I think this one is in particular was regarding her ex-husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she drew lyrics from that song from last year. I don't remember the name of it.
And the one where the theme of like saying goodbye. You hear that on quite a few of the tracks as well.
Right. She also addressed the paparazzi. and the public, because they've demonized her since her separation from Disney.
Yeah. I love the way that she sort of like flipped the whole idea of breakup songs on the album, because it wasn't so much about like, okay, I'm hurt by this person because our relationship ended, so I'm just going to like have a lot of breakup songs, kind of like trashing him. I feel like for her, what she really did was more introspective and kind of like admitting that, you know, I'm at fault too, I'm flawed too, and like I know in myself that I wasn't the one for you. So like you admit that
she thought that she was doing something right, but the marriage was chosen for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is what she came to agree and never gonna be me. She accepts that this is not who she is. Exactly. She can't be tied down. She can't stay one place.
Yep. She definitely explored a lot of that on the albums, especially the songs like What the Fuck Do I Know, Angels Like You, Midnight Sky, and Never Be Me, and like you said, Hi. She definitely, you know, kind of like addressed that, because the album starts off.
She wants that element too, where she doesn't want to look, she doesn't want a relationship, she just wants someone to know.
That was on Give Me What I Want, which is personally one of my favorite songs. Because it made me look back on the plethora of, you know, hookups that I've had. And, you know, like, sometimes we just think, like, you know, you
and should relate to the time. There's something recurring as well, where this theme where she's just trying to feel something. I realize that everyone has their coping mechanisms, you know. For example, The Weeknd, his coping mechanism was drugs in his album. I think the same thing could be said for like Lana Del Rey, where she associates drug with trying to get over relationships or something like that. Miley's way of getting over a relationship was just to move on. Like, it wasn't alcohol. It had self-hate, because you mentioned about self-inflicting pain, because she associates love and pain as the same thing. Mm-hmm. She said it in a song in Give Me What I Want. She associates it with the same meaning. So for her, it's either you give her, I think it's just hookups that just gets her past. It gives her the dopamine that she needs to take on the next day.
Yeah, because she said it in the pre-chorus, you know, tonight you came here because you know what I need and no one likes to be alone. I feel like
that was actually addressing Caitlyn.
But still, when you think about it, you know, like on the larger scale, that's a lot of the times why hookups even happen. Because a lot of the times, well, for me, I live alone. You understand? I do live alone. So sometimes you just need some little company. And you may not necessarily want like nothing serious, but you know, maybe now and then you understand what that urge is, and you understand like she said, it's like, you know, a pleasure which leads to pain. You know,
because she associates, she even thinks of herself as a heartbreaker. Every relationship that she gets involved with, it always ends up with other party being heartbroken.
Unfortunately, I relate. I do think I am a heartbreaker, and I feel like it's not something that I set out to do. I just feel like it's just something that just happened.
It's your Rolling Stone too.
Me? Yeah.
I guess you're a Rolling Stone as well.
I'm a Rolling Stone. I try so hard to be the good guy. Even right now, I'm being a good guy right now. I think I'm being a good guy right now. So you know.
He's a bad guy, so. I don't see as a bad guy anyway.
You know.
He make a good noodle.
I think what happened is, and Miley Cyrus talked about this in the album as well. I feel like people always kind of like set them own expectation of what they want you to be, and you yourself know say you can't meet the expectation there, and you try your absolute best, and you kind of hold yourself.
Funny. Plastic Heart talks about you molding yourself to fit everyone's expectation because you can be whatever you want to be in California. And she said I can be whatever you want to be. I'm not sure if it's one, if it was supposed to be like a satire to say that she's made, probably just joking about that she's not serious.
That's probably what it is.
She says she's a taker. She takes whatever you give.
I feel like,
and
she's never
gonna be me when she said I can't fit your expectation.
And that's what it is, you know. A lot of the times you know in yourself so you can meet somebody's expectation, and you do try. And a lot of the times when it's not genuine, those cracks eventually are going to just start crumbling, becoming a lot bigger, and just start crumbling around you. And you're
like Jamaican plateau.
Eh?
Like Jamaican road.
Oh boy. Talk about this, how much trillions of dollars would the country need to repair the goddamn Jamaican road, you know? Sad.
I really enjoy this album because she hears so many points in just maybe 40 plus minutes.
Yeah.
She addressed capitalism, she addressed people dying with her tributes in the end. The album, she addressed the media and how they make people perceive her. Yeah. She addressed everything. She even addressed herself.
And I also want to talk about Golden G String as well, because I felt like that was like a very powerful song as well, because in this particular song she talks about how men perceive women and how they perceive feminism as well, and talked about how the politics has treated feminism and stuff like that, because she talked about it. So the bad man's in the big chair and his heart's in iron ball. He says, if you can't make ends meet, honey, it must be your fault. We all focus on the winners and get blinded by their shine. Maybe caring for you is just to 1969. I think she was talking about the state of the White House in this bridge. Should I talk about Trump? About how his heart iron vault. So she has a way. She's a really good songwriter. And she's a country girl at heart, you know. And not a lot of persons know this, but the closest I personally have ever gotten to country music was from Miley, because every now and then, you know, she dip in out of the country.
Really? Not even with it?
Hmm?
Did you also start off as a country girl?
No, but her family, because her father is a country rock star, you know.
Right.
So, like, I always associate Miley as being, by default, a country, you know, a country girl. You know what I mean?
Now look at it, she's the exact opposite of her father.
But she did, she had a song on here that was very country, like the one with Brad Karma, which was really good as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Angels Like You. That was kind of like,
yeah.
So she really experimented with a lot of songs on here. Hate Me is personally one of my like go-to songs as well.
Yes, a new anthem.
Yeah, it's very retrospective because it made me think about my own mortality. And as I was talking about it on another podcast that I had last week, it made me think about life in general and how, you know, sometimes, you know, you might break some people's heart, or you might make some mistake. We might upset a lot of person. They might have
and they open
and have something. And you wonder, like, I wonder if they're dead, if they're gonna feel no way, or you wonder how your friends are gonna feel if you yourself pass away. If you ever think that your true friend is gonna show himself at that point,
right? And even address the fact that even in a relationship that she was in, her lover was weaponizing her issues. Her ex-lover was weaponizing her issues because they had expectations of her that she couldn't meet. So pretty much when you aren't meeting people's expectations anymore, they're going to say that you're changing, and they're going to make a big deal out of it. And being trapped in something like that it's exhausting.
You know, alright, so I have a question to ask. Do you think that this album was better than, or is better than Bangers?
Than who?
Bangers.
You're the wrong person.
You've never listened to Bangers. Okay, alright. Yeah.
That was released last year, right?
No, Bangers
was... Oh wait, 2015 actually. Yeah. No, I didn't get to listen to it. You see, back in 2015, that was when I started to explore listening to full work, to full albums. So at that time, I started listening to like Troye Sivan. I started revisiting Rihanna's albums. So that's the time when I started listening to albums.
You know, I actually discovered Troye Sivan by accident.
Same. It was in sixth form, actually.
Yeah. But in my personal opinion, I do think that it is her best album to date, because she really took time with this album and really wrote how she was feeling in that moment. Because it's very evident.
With your work.
Yeah.
Yes.
She took her time with that. I said my personal opinion. Okay. My personal opinion, I do believe that it's like, in terms of the themes and what she talked about in the album, and a lot of, you know, the sound, the 80s aesthetic, glam pop rock, you know, rock and roll, a lot of odes to, like, because even a lot of this, especially the song with Midnight Cry. Was it Midnight Cry?
Yeah.
No, Night Crawling. We literally feel like some, you know, a slasher movie. You know, them eating them.
That's what I felt.
Yes. You know when the slasher movie done and the final girl just run off into the like the horizon of some, like, you know, cause she survived and she drive off into the horizon, and then the credits start roll. And then they start doing this rock and roll song. It just gives me very that.
That's definitely of that album, to be honest.
Yeah.
And in Nightcrawling, she pretty much has a phone piece in herself.
Mm-hmm.
I think she says your phone what I needed, and maybe that what I really don't know what I needed is, but maybe it's peace.
I'm proud of Miley, because she said that, you know, this was the type of music that she was meant to do, and I'm happy for her. I really am, and I love the way that she carefully selected the tracks for this album. I didn't really have any skips on this album.
I didn't skip anything.
Because there are songs that I can play when I want to get like real rock and roll, and there are some ballads on there where I'm just listening, I'm just meds, you know. So all in all,
yeah. It did the damn thing.
What are you saying?
It did the damn thing.
Yep, she served. She served, and I enjoyed this. This is a 10 out of 10 for me, personally. 10 out of 10 for me.
No, printer. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
It was thoroughly enjoyable, period.
Period.
I just love it. I'm not gonna lie. Even AJ, if you watch AJ's reactions on YouTube, even AJ loves it.
Yeah, I know. And I also watch Zach Campbell's reaction.
I still want to drag her because she hasn't reacted to Sam's album as yet.
What?
I'm not sure what she's waiting on.
You know, I listened to that album today. Oh my god.
The album is beautiful.
I just love it. I just love that album so much.
This is what happens when you take time and invest in your work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Let me tell you. I listen to Miley Cyrus. I listen to Ariana Grande. So Ari, it's growing on me because I listened to Nasty all day yesterday, bitch.
I like Nasty and
Westside. Nasty and Westside, girl. Like, the way how Nasty just went right into Westside. I mean, some of these transitions were on point. I gotta give Miss Arianka that. We're very on point.
But anyway. Did you say Arianka?
Yes. Miss Arianka. But anyways, Danielle, thank you so much for joining me today on my podcast Journey with Roman, where we talked about Miley Cyrus's album Plastic Hearts. I want everybody to go ahead and stream it on every streaming platform. It's a really great album, and thanks again my listeners for tuning in with me this week. Catch you again on the next one, and have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Bye.